Well, thank you so much. I'm making sure my mic is working. It's always exciting to be at the Social Strategies Conference. I was here last year, I did a workshop, but I always geek out a little bit because social media people, we kind of are all in our unique spaces where we work, but when we all get together, it's a lot of fun. And actually, my team is coming in right now. You guys are late. And so I'm excited to be here to talk about Maytag. I have a personal passion for Maytag, but specifically today, kind of in this engagement track, I'm going to talk about this kind of mouthful of a title, which is leveraging a brand icon to build meaningful engagement on social. So I think we always talk about engagement on social and kind of what it means to our businesses and our brands. And so I'm going to kind of talk about the importance that engagement or the important role engagement has played for Maytag, especially in kind of the year of success we've seen since winning the business in 2015. So you guys know me, I'm Rachel. There's my LinkedIn photo. But for a long time, when we first won the business, I was leading a double life as the Maytag man. And so actually my community manager is here today. He now tweets as the Maytag man, but for a long time, that was my identity, and you kind of become, I don't know how many people actually manage social accounts, but you start to think like that brand. You start to talk like that brand. I started to have the Maytag man voice, and I still use it now. But really kind of became that persona for me. So when we think about objectives for today and really talking about leveraging this brand icon and kind of walking you through the case study of kind of year one on Maytag, some key takeaways I think are important for this group is, how do we make sure that brand engagement, which is this kind of generic term, how do we explain that to kind of our senior brand client or your boss or your marketing director? Why is engagement important and why is it something that you guys should be spending your time on? You know, how can we balance? I know as a social strategist, as community managers, you guys are super busy. Social media kind of encompasses, you know, outward bound publishing, engagement, being relevant in this constantly changing landscape. So how do you prioritize engagement and kind of that one-to-one messaging within everything else that you guys are trying to balance? And lastly, how can we have some helpful tips and processes to make sure that what you're doing is not only effective, but it's also efficient? So how can we create some efficiencies, create some good process so that this engagement process is really helpful, but it's also something that you can streamline into your day-to-day? So, a look back. So if we kind of go even further back to the Maytag story in general and kind of starting at the beginning, Maytag had been a fading brand icon. So how many people here remember the old lonely Maytag man? Okay, so he was this kind of old lonely guy. Nobody needed him because your Maytag appliance never broke down miraculously, so he was so lonely, he had nothing to do. But what we were experiencing was that nobody was really relating to this person. Nobody was relating to this icon. He felt really out of touch with consumers. So we were kind of losing in terms of our key brand metrics. So especially for appliances where you're only buying these every 7 to 10 years, loyalty is really important here, similar to kind of automobiles or large purchase items. So we were seeing declines in awareness, preference, and purchase intent, which is what we're always trying to hit. So we needed to make a shift creatively, even before we got to the social space. So in 2014, our creative team, which at the time was at Leo Burnett, but then came over to Digitas, launched the new Maytag man. So how many people have seen this new guy as the new Maytag man? So he was reinvented, and we took a huge risk because we were taking the icon and we were completely changing his look and feel. But we wanted him to feel more relevant. We wanted him to feel like he could connect with consumers. And he kind of represented that dependability that Maytag really was going to stand for, that American pride, that dependability. And so in a sense, he became the machine. So even though he looks like a human, he talks like a human, he is supposed to be that appliance. He's that silent helper. He's that dependable guy that's in your kitchen. So I'll take you through kind of our spot that launched this new creative.
Congratulations, it's Maytag. When you bring a Maytag appliance into your home, there's a little something extra inside.
Tough, hardworking American dependability. So go ahead and load up these racks with family meals. Hand over all the dishes and pans, even the filthy ones.
Because dependability means giving your stains a kick in the pants.
So even when cornflakes dry into cement flakes.
And when fishing trips go way better than expected, you can depend on Maytag to roll up its sleeves and clean up these sleeves.
And use a little elbow grease to cut through this grease.
Because dependability is what Maytag does.
Maytag, what's inside matters.
So you can get a sense of his personality. So he was this big persona. He was supposed to be the appliance, but he was also this kind of funny, very distinct voice and tone. So people really connected with this new Maytag man and felt like it was relevant again. He was connecting with the kind of new mom that was looking for that kind of hand in the kitchen. I should say mom and dad, supposed to be both people do chores, but we saw immediate success here. So we, when all those key brand metrics that we had seen declines in, we were kind of seeing an upward thrust. So we were seeing better marketing investments in terms of across the Whirlpool Corporation. We were seeing larger campaign awareness and then consideration and purchase intent. So this was all great news. But what we were still struggling with was the social challenge. So we won the social business in 2015. And kind of when we came on to kind of figure out what we wanted to do, we identified three main challenges here. And I think this is kind of the crux of what I really want to talk about. We were still kind of stagnant on social. We weren't connecting with our audience, which is really what social is all about, is that opportunity to connect with your consumer. So mainly we weren't engaging one-on-one. We weren't kind of figuring out how to be relevant, but make sure that, those relevant moments were right for the brand. And we just weren't making that personal commitment to kind of figuring out who is our audience, how do we want to talk to this audience. So there's this huge missed opportunity that we weren't taking advantage of. So really, it comes down to the fact that we were all about dependability, about the Maytag man, about him being the product. But social media, we all know, is about connecting with people. And we're kind of living in a time where, and we're way past it now, that brands should be expected to communicate. People want to talk to the brand. It used to be that brands were kind of off on this hill, that you could never talk to them. And now you can. And so we needed to kind of figure out how to leverage that opportunity. So we really need to bring humanity to Maytag. And it seemed inherent in this iconic person, but we weren't doing it, or we weren't kind of leveraging that opportunity in the right way. So we had to kind of do a shift, in a sense. And we kind of do some of these types of charts when we're figuring out where we're going in terms of where we were. And so we wanted to shift completely in terms of our social presence. So we wanted to go from this product billboard, kind of just outward messaging. And I'm sure we've all worked on a brand that's just pushing out messaging, but they're not really paying attention to what your consumers are saying or kind of taking the time to engage with them. So we wanted to go to inspired conversation. We wanted to move from cold metal, which is really what most of the appliance category was doing, was just really kind of cold, talking about the product, to this authentic and approachable lens. We wanted to move from, again, talking about our product to really creating emotional, shareable content, those two-way interactions, and really figuring out what is our point of view, what's our focused voice and tone when it comes to social and it comes to engagement. So what was our approach? So when we first kind of sat down to write our social playbooks and our social strategies, and I'm sure we've all gone through that exercise, we realized we had this opportunity, which was something that's kind of that you're striking it rich when you're on social media. I've worked on Sprint, I've worked on nonprofits, and it's hard to have that brand voice and tone, especially when you don't have that iconic character. We had one. We had this guy who looked like a human, talked like a human, so we almost had this human personality that was a huge opportunity for us. So when we actually looked back at the space and kind of beyond when we won the business, people were talking to the Maytag man, and it was pretty hilarious to see what people were saying. They were watching the ads, they were talking about their love for the Maytag man. A lot of moms love the Maytag man, and so they were like saying it was really funny, they thought he was handsome. So the love was there, we just weren't talking back. There was this great kind of uncharted territory that we weren't jumping into. So we needed to figure out, in a sense, what is the Maytag man's point of view? And I think for every brand that you all represent, it's figuring out how are we going to engage in this space? What's going to be our voice and tone? What's our point of view, and what do we want to stay away from? And so really figuring out your guardrails, figuring out your personality on social. And again, even for a brand that isn't necessarily a human character, it's really important to still go through this exercise of, you know, how do we want to comment on what's going on in the world, what people are saying to us on social, and then just in general, how do we want to kind of position ourselves when we put outward-bound messaging out there. So for us, we wanted to kind of have these kind of key components that the Maytag man would always view the world through his lens as an appliance. So he would always talk as an appliance. He would be, that would be his POV on the world. He would communicate his dependability, so all about that strength and helpfulness. He would connect the audience with these entertaining interactions. And he would always have the underlying dry sense of humor. So that was really important. So if you ever saw Maytag tweeting or Maytag posting, it would always have those types of components inherently in his conversations. So we kind of operated within these three areas when we talked about our communication pillars. We wanted to think about our strategy in terms of one-on-one engagement, so really that one-to-one messaging. So when people were talking to us, how are we going to talk back? What was going to be our kind of stake in the ground? Culturally relevant trends. So we all know, and I think it's overwhelming how much is trending every day, and it's a lot of garbage out there. So how do we figure out what's the right moment to kind of capitalize on? And then personality posts. So figuring out how do we build out our brand personality and his personality, even just evergreen content. So how is he going to comment just in general on what's going on, and how is he going to make this kind of approachable lens feel like something that people can connect to. So starting with one-on-one engagement, kind of coming back to that idea of how do we make this seem important to our senior brand clients, our bosses. So at the very underlying point of why engagement matters and kind of why you should be spending your time talking to your customers or talking to your audience is that when you have an engaged customer, that directly leads to positive, you know, business goals, whether that's sales, whether that's affinity, whether that's preference. If you have somebody that you've left feeling good, they are more likely to go to the store and ask for Maytag or ask for, you know, Sprint coverage or whatever it might be. They felt good about that interaction they had with you. That directly can lead to sales for your brand. And so that's, we always have to put in that context of what does this mean for the business. And similarly, if somebody has a bad experience with your brand on social, they're even more likely, and many times the loudest person in the room, to go tell other people, I had this really bad interaction, don't buy Maytag. Like, they were really, you know, they either didn't talk to me or I had a really bad experience. So keeping those things in mind, we do have to be present in that space. The conversations are going to happen, and we need to be able to own that conversation and be able to control what's going on in the space, because regardless if we have a strategy for engagement, it's happening and we need to be aware of it. So then similarly, you know, when you have those people who have that positive engagement with your brand, they tend to be, especially the ones who kind of keep coming back and you keep having good conversations, and maybe you send them kind of a Maytag mug or something to kind of keep their relationship going. These people become brand ambassadors. And so there's not always a great science to this. It's not that you can kind of figure out how to build this army. It kind of just happens organically. But you do end up getting these people who really go to bat for your brand. And I'll talk a little bit about it when I talk about our work during Pride last year. But we got a lot of people who became kind of, and Justin calls it the click for us, that when people were giving us negative feedback about our support of the LGBT community, we had a whole larger group of people that were like, no, like, Maytag's the best, we're gonna go buy Maytag, and really kind of went to bat for us, so we didn't even have to engage. So that there's a really great opportunity there as well. So what was our strategy? So we, when it came to engaging with fans, again, we knew the conversation was happening, we wanted to tap into it. We wanted to make sure that we kept that authentic and humorous tone in mind. So we wanted to keep it positive, keep it helpful, but also keep it a little bit witty. And then we also wanted to dive into related conversations. So even if people weren't directly talking to us, say they were talking about laundry day, surprising how many people post on Instagram about laundry day, but we want to jump in and also have funny interactions there, even when people aren't directly mentioning us. So I don't know why that's getting cut off, but when we figured out best practices in terms of doing this strategy of engagement, one of the first things we realized was the importance of staying true to your brand tone and voice. So it's really easy to kind of start tweeting and then kind of getting derailed and not remembering, okay, what is the foundation that we set out for ourselves? What are our main communication guidelines? And so for Maytag, or for the Maytag man especially, people are talking to the Maytag man like he's a person. And so they might say, and this one isn't a great example, but they might say, we think you're really hot. We really want to like go on a date with you. And he could never say like, I would too, or you know, thank you very much. So he always has to respond as the appliance. And so even in this situation of like, why don't you invent a folder? He kind of talks about how he, you know, appliances don't have hands. So he never talks in the first person, always a big rule. And so one of the key things here is either if you're writing the tweets or if you're working with a creative team that you have on hand, just checking in with them about these kind of checks and balances that you're doing for yourself. But you want to make sure you keep that consistency. And something that's helpful for that consistency is really having your set of guidelines. And I don't know, has anyone gone through the kind of exercise on the left where you're kind of like, this is our brand, and there's like keywords of what you are and aren't? So that's helpful in a sense, but what we always do for social is we figure, okay, he's the appliance, he's strong and sturdy, he's approachable, great. But what does that mean for social? What does that mean for his voice on social? So how do we translate that to guardrails for ourselves? So it's important that if you start with those kind of words that kind of seem meaningless for your brand, let's figure out how they translate to social. So again, he's, when it comes to strong and sturdy, he's not going to break down or have weaknesses because he is the appliance. So if he talks about breaking down or if he responds to questions about breaking down, he's kind of showcasing that the appliances will break down. So these are just some important kind of guardrails to always keep in mind and have handy, even print them and have them on your desk. And maybe they'll evolve, but for the most part, that's the foundation of your consistency. And then this is like a screenshot of this like really lovely Google Doc that I have. But this is another great tip here is as you're engaging and as you are talking to people, I save everything. So I keep records of every single tweet that I send out, every post, because this is efficient for you as you kind of come up with really cool ways to talk to people. Save them because you can reuse this content. You can also figure out how your voice is evolving or things that you don't want to do again. And sometimes you can even have little quick stats if you want to, like this tweet did really well, or you know, this was one that really resonated with somebody and we're going to build on that. So this helps you kind of build out your voice and persona on social, and it's a really easy way to do it. It's also great for transition. So if you have a new community manager come on and they don't know the voice and tone at all of the Maytag man, I think Justin can attest to this, is you already can kind of see like how we are talking to people in this space. So it's a great way to easily transition new hires. So some examples of this, and we kind of saw a little bit, but we use GIFs a lot. So we cut a lot of GIFs from our TV spots of just him doing different fun things. So someone talking about, I mean, the people on social are really hilarious when it comes to Maytag, but talking about doing the dance called the Dirty Laundry, and he kind of goes back and he's doing the classic wash and spin. So just like keeping with that witty tone, somebody wants to have fun with you, let's have fun back. And then we also get a lot of these people who have had their appliances for a really long time, which is great. And so he kind of answers back as, you know, if somebody says, you've been with us for 33 years, Maytag man's going to say, remember the one with all the socks? That was a good one. So these kind of quippy, fun, witty jokes that he can tell to kind of, and you'd be surprised, like people love to hear from the Maytag man and they get really excited about, they really think it's him, even though it's like me or Justin. But you know, people are like, oh my God, they like retweet it to their wall. So it does go a long way. And this person may replace their washing machine with another Maytag. And so that means that that actually meant something for the brand. And then we had, who watched Seventh Heaven? Anyone? I don't really watch it, but we had this interaction with Beverly Mitchell, who was like, and this is actually something we came across through social listening, where she was just looking for a washer dryer and we decided that she had to buy Maytag. And so we kind of jumped into the conversation. She had a lot of fun with the Maytag man. And then we somehow found out, I think through stalking her pretty heavily, that she was a Bengals fan. Was that it, Justin? Yeah, and so we created this kind of custom piece of content featuring a little jersey, and it just went a long way, and she actually did end up buying Maytag, so that was pretty cool. So this can, again, it seems silly, and it seems you know, when you talk about, somebody asks you what you do all day and you're like, well, I tweet a lot or I post a lot. But at the end of the day, this does lead to loyalty and it leads to sales for your brand. And so it is really important. I think everyone in the room agrees, but it's really being able to leverage that and tell your the key stakeholders that, yeah, this is really important. I'm spending my time in a really important way. So moving to culturally relevant trends. So this is kind of the space that I think we all get really sick of kind of like the trending topics and like, you know, what's going on today, what's happening in pop culture, what's happening in the news. I think the key point here when it comes to being relevant is that people are really leading the way on the internet. So we increasingly are calling the internet or the people's internet because 80% of what's on the internet is user generated. So we're not really leading these conversations, people are. And so they're the ones who are telling us to use emojis because that's how they're talking. They're the ones using GIFs, which we are now kind of following their lead. And so we are just kind of looking at what people are doing in the social space and we're kind of trying to take notes and stay relevant. So now people are using cinemagraphs, we're gonna try to use cinemagraphs. Or now people are using, you know, bitmojis. Can we figure out how to make a Maytag Man bitmoji? I don't know, like not everything is gonna make sense, but it's really important to be able to monitor that because at the end of the day, people are also really savvy at detecting ads and staying away from it. So as we kind of get into those spaces of Instagram and Snapchat and people know that advertisers are now in that space, they're extremely, you know, angry about it or they don't want to see an ad. So it's really important that we keep relevance as a key piece of social content. And so we need to figure out as we're engaging, sure. Yeah, and what we didn't show in that example was there were like several exchanges that kind of led up to eventually saying, okay, Maytag is like, we kind of, I think, jumped in and we were like, oh, you know, Maytag would love to be part of your, so because it was coming from the Maytag man, we had to kind of have several direct conversations with her that didn't immediately say like, you should buy Maytag or you should put me in your house. So there were a lot of different back and forths. And so for one-on-one engagement, it can be a little bit easier as long as you're jumping into conversations in the right way and it starts out as just a friendly exchange because you don't want to go heavy at them with like, oh, totally buy Maytag, like you should go to the store and buy Maytag. But similarly with relevant stuff, you know, we want to kind of hide our advertising. So we want to hide what we're doing in something that feels really relevant and feels on trend. And again, for the right reasons. So that's, I don't know if that answers your question, but okay. We'll actually have 5 minutes at the very end, if that's okay. Cool. So how did we want to engage in this space? I think we wanted to kind of figure out how do we monitor all of this, but also how do we figure out and filter down? I think the monitoring part is the easy part, like we can kind of see what's going on, but how do we filter all that down to kind of the moment that matters, and how do we figure out how do we want to jump into that? So we needed to have a lens, have a very specific guardrail of what trends we could tap into and what trends we couldn't. And also still keeping to that bottom line that he's the appliance, so how can he connect here? So if it was something that didn't make sense or it's like, oh, I was thinking of this in terms of him as a human being, that wouldn't make sense. So we need to really think about him as the appliance. So one of the first things we established was this quick turn reactive process, or we call it reactive, but it's these real-time moments. So we have a team that's, you know, listening and monitoring in the morning. We kind of identify those opportunities using a strict set of guidelines of, you know, yeah, there's a lot going on or Beyonce's new album just dropped, but that might not be the right opportunity versus maybe something happened related to the kitchen, you know, the kitchen or household industry, and maybe that's the right time to jump in. So we identify the opportunity, we share and approve creative. We do this all very fast and very quickly. And the important part here when it comes to engaging in this space is making sure your key stakeholders, whether you're working with a client or working with brand and legal, which we know can be really, really slow, making sure you establish early on that they're aware of this process and that there's some sort of quick turn. You know, if we give you this via email at 10 a.m., we're going to need approval by 11 a.m. or we're not doing it. So really being very clear and upfront with your expectations of if we want to be reactive in real time, and again, this not every day is this going to happen, maybe once a week you'll get something out there, but your team needs to be aware of it and they need to be on board with that quick turn nature. And similarly, even beyond just the day-to-day reactive, there may be things you're picking up on when you're talking to consumers and when you're engaging that's really valuable. So really quick example here was we, don't know if who watches The Walking Dead, I'm a huge fan, but people were talking about Maytag in context of The Walking Dead, so when people looked too clean, so they were in the zombie apocalypse for years and years, and yet they still looked really good. So they were saying, where did they get that Maytag? So they were kind of saying Maytag as the washer-dryer of choice. And so this was happening time and time again as the show was airing, and we're like, that's kind of interesting. Like, let's figure out, you know, this is something that our audience is clearly keying into. So we ended up creating this post. Our great creatives kind of created this little GIF. We launched this with, I think, the finale, like, last season. And it killed. Like, people loved this. They loved the Maytag. And this was, you know, not something we initially would think, okay, Maytag could play a role in the, you know, in this Walking Dead category. But because we kind of had heard of those conversations, we had that added piece of relevance that wasn't just, this is just a trending topic, this is a show that's popular. This was a show that was mattering to our audience. So that was something that was interesting and worked really well for us. And similarly, just always using guardrails. These are really generic guardrails, so I think it's figuring out what's the right guardrail for your brand. And so, you know, these are some things to always think about, but, you know, the biggest things is this the right opportunity? Is this worth our time? Is this going to eventually do something good for us? And on the flip side, is this really risky? Is this something that could get us in trouble? Like, if we do comment on, and we've all seen the brand faux pas of jumping into trends that they shouldn't jump into, especially when celebrities die or if there's something happening that's like a crisis, not a good time to jump in. So I think similarly, always having those guardrails of what we don't do. But this is a really important checklist to always go through before jumping on what's hot right now. So some quick examples. So just the day-to-day, we did some fun things where when Fuller House came out, you know, in terms of this being a household show, we had this kind of Hastings Cut It Out creative that we ran. And then when Facebook Reactions came out, and even though we had originally run that on Facebook, we kind of had this interesting play that he always has the same face. He's this really stoic guy. So we had his same face for all, like, the wow, ha-ha, or whatever it might be. And it was really fun. And Good Morning America actually tweeted about Facebook Reactions, so we tweeted this at them, and it did really well. So just some fun day-to-day examples. We did, this was kind of a planned reactive moment, so where we figured out, you know, is Star Wars a great opportunity for us? And we realized this kind of dark side, light side conversation and how, you know, you separate your darks and your lights when it comes to laundry. So we ran this creative, and we also launched this with the show's or the movie premiere. And that was a lot of fun as well, because this was one of the hashtags that did trend in terms of whether you were dark side or light side. And then this one I want to just spend a couple of minutes on. I know we talked about it in the intro of what we did for Pride last year. And so one of the insights we had was that before we won the business, we had done a Pride post, or the agency before us had done a Pride post, and it really resonated. And so we wanted to do something in 2015 knowing that it was a big year for Pride and for LGBT community, because this is when marriage equality was potentially going to pass, and it did. So we had a post that kind of we did at the very beginning of the month, and then we had a post ready to go. That's weird. We did once marriage equality ended up passing. And so we kind of wanted to make sure that we weren't just jumping on the bandwagon and being a brand that like put some rainbow things up and didn't really have that backing. So one of the things that was important is we had one of the highest HRC indexes, which was huge. Our client was really behind this. And we wanted to kind of comment on the thing at the moment was that bakeries were not supporting LGBT weddings. So we kind of launched Pride Month with him kind of holding this rainbow cake as kind of a slight nod. And everybody picked up on that and were really, really appreciative of that support and that nod that we know this is going on, but we support the community. So that did great. And then the marriage equality piece also did great, because we had it ready to go the minute that marriage equality passed. We were able to launch it. And it was also, again, another show of support. So we really wanted to make it about the community. We didn't want to make it showy and product heavy or advert. We didn't want to put anything in terms of like buy Maytag. But we had this great reaction from the community. And so we were able to see a lot of people who actually kind of told us that they were now going to buy Maytag. They were now going to be Maytag loyalists, which was so great. And got a lot of great coverage too, which is great. But really what was more important was all the people who said, you know, I'm going to now buy Maytag. This really means a lot to me. So lastly is kind of our personality post section. So how do we, beyond just the engagement, beyond the culturally relevant trends, how do we build out Maytag's personality on social? And so why is this important? Again, why is this something we just spend time doing? People want to talk to people on social. This is the unique space where we need to throw corporate language out the window. And we need to really make sure we feel approachable and authentic, and we feel like we have a personality that people want to talk to. And again, whether that's your brand, whether your brand is Sprint, or whether your brand is Maytag, or whatever else you might be working on, you have to figure out how to find a way to be a brand that people want to talk to. And that's by constantly building out that personality, especially in social media. So love this quote, but I've put this in a couple presentations, but why do you want to build a personality? You want to give somebody, or you want to give your audience somebody to talk about, not just something to talk about. So when you can humanize your brand, it's a lot harder to spew out hate. It's a lot harder to kind of have those negative interactions. And so it gives that human connection that I think is so lacking when it comes to other digital spaces. So what was our personality strategy going to be? We wanted to kind of build on that, you know, whether it's capitalizing on trends or the one-on-one engagement. We also just wanted to build an evergreen campaign of him commenting on what's happening in the world as his kind of perspective as this appliance. So we needed to carve out areas that he could kind of connect with. And so this is where we talk about a little bit of the guardrails, but even outside of just the reactive stuff, you know, how is he going to, what kind of conversations can he talk about? And so we kind of started to carve out some of the spaces of, he's got this humor, sarcasm, he's got this kind of American pride type, you know, dependability, and he also has the ability to talk in the home renovation space. So with your brands, like, what are the areas that you feel you can, you know, talk to, or where, what are the areas you feel like you can expand your personality into and really comment on? And sometimes you want to take risks. So we, and this was like a funny piece of creative we ran, we never go after the younger millennial target. We don't have millennials buying appliances right now. But those millennials are, and that's a kind of a generic term as well, but they're getting older. They are going to eventually buy appliances. So we ran this piece of creative with Video Game Day, but we wanted to build his personality out to feel a little bit more relevant to the younger audience. And it actually did so well that we now have evolved a little bit and tried to think about how can we connect more with younger millennials, especially as they become people who can buy appliances in the future. And usually they'll ask their parents, but maybe they'll go and make their own decision as well. And then evolving your personality too. So as we kind of look, kind of take a step back and figure out, you know, where we're going with the Maytag man, we want to learn from successes and failures. So on the left side was something we ran during Memorial Day last year. So it was him kind of holding a rack of ribs because he can grill ribs inside. Didn't do well. People were really pissed, rightly so. We should not have done something on Memorial Day that was really trivial. Point taken. And so we kind of learned from that. And for Veterans Day, we did something that was more of a solid kind of honoring veterans. And then even for Memorial Day, knowing that's such a sensitive holiday, like, we're just not going to post this year. So I think we learn you either post something that's really good or you don't post at all. And so that was something where we kind of learned and evolved based on, we don't want him to be associated with insensitivity. We want him to be that dependable hero that also, you know, honors dependable heroes. And so on the right side, from the what we learned from Pride, which did so well, and we didn't want that to be a one-off thing. We wanted his personality to really consistently support the community. So we couldn't just do it once. We wanted him to always chime in when it came to LGBT important events. And so for Spirit Day, which is kind of against LGBT youth bullying, we wanted him to also post. So throughout the year, we wanted to make sure that he was continuing to have that consistency in the causes that he supports. So some examples of kind of larger campaigns we did to build out his personality was Movember. So he actually, we had this great idea, and we actually did donate a lot of money to men's cancer awareness, but we had him grow out a mustache across all of social. And so he was in his profile pictures, it was growing. In all the posts for that month, the mustache was getting continually funkier and larger. And this was a lot of fun. It really raised awareness for the cause and was able to do something outside of his typical day-to-day that really built out his personality as caring about something and caring about men's health. World Series live tweeting. So we had a great partnership with MLB last year. And so we had a lot of instances where he was commenting on baseball. And so kind of that American dependable pastime, he was commenting on what was going on in the game, but still kind of having that lens of being the appliance, and whether it's cleaning the clothes or you know, being powerful or things like that, he was always able to comment beyond just his normal day-to-day. And lastly, we kind of wanted to build out this personality around the fact we want to acknowledge that people really thought he was a handsome guy. And I know it's kind of that human characteristic, but we kind of twisted this to kind of participate in Man Crush Monday, but made it Machine Crush Monday. So we kind of took some of our like greatest hits when we get these women who talk to the Maytag man and love him, and we wanted to showcase, and this was during the month of February, so with that whole Valentine's Day theme, kind of showcase the love he was getting, but also put some love out there. So this is something we actually built out for a whole month. So as a result, we saw some great stats, and so this is a chart that basically just shows that we, you know, increased our impressions, we increased our engagement rate. So for everything we were putting out there, we were getting great action, whether that was sharing or retweeting or commenting back. So when it comes to engagement, we were really getting those numbers that we were looking for. So across Facebook and Twitter. And the other key piece is that, you know, social sentiment is important. It's particularly important to engagement. So you want to make sure when you are entering these conversations, you're changing the conversation in a good way. So we really went from being a brand that nobody, we weren't talking back. So if we think back to when we first took on the brand, there was a space that nobody was talking, or people were talking to us, but we weren't talking back. So when we started to do that, we saw a great increase in the conversation, particularly in a brand where there's a lot of complaints and a lot of appliance breakdowns and people who just want to talk about that. So we really wanted to shift that conversation, and we did. So I've got 2 minutes, and I just want to end with...
Let's face it. No one really wants to talk to an appliance. So for years, Maytag was virtually invisible on social media. But then again, they never had an appliance worth talking to. With the launch of the new Maytag Man, we turned the hardest working appliances on the market into the hardest working brand in social media.
Oh, paprika.
From his unique perspective as an appliance, the Maytag Man rolled up his sleeves and dove into all the conversations online. Whether it was college football.
When the going gets tough, the tough make nachos.
A Star Wars movie. Or trending hashtags. The Maytag Man was always hard at work. People even went to work for him with their own social posts. On Instagram, we did our own style of photobombing, looking for images of kitchen renovations, then dropping the Maytag Man into them to give people a peek at dependability in their own homes. The Maytag Man even got to work on social issues, like marriage equality and cancer awareness, all to big time praise across the web. All the hard work paid off. Our new social approach didn't just make Maytag a social media standout, it impacted the brand across the board, proving that it pays to be the hardest working brand in social media.
Lazy toaster.
Maytag, what's inside matters.
Awesome. So I know I ran through that quickly. So if there are questions, I'm happy to answer questions.
About enough time for about one question.
Oh, excellent.
And then are you going to hang around for a little while afterwards?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, great. So prefer to use the mic if possible, even though it's a small room, but any questions?
Sure.
Here, let me get the mic to you.
So you kind of touched on it a little bit, but, you know, I guess with that, with my company and where we work, the approval process is what really kind of drags us down. So,
yeah.
I mean, anything else that you can talk to about, you know, getting how we get people on board to just let us do this kind of stuff, you know, trust in us that we're making the right decisions and that way we can be on top of these. And then the other aspect of it is like the creative and how are you turning that around so quickly as well?
Yeah, so there's two key areas there. There's what I kind of refer to as like planned reactive. So if you know for your brand that as you're planning for maybe an upcoming month of social, that you absolutely want to do something for Pride and you absolutely want to do something for Father's Day, you want to maybe plan that creative ahead of time and have it ready to go. Even if you don't end up launching it, it's still in your back pocket. So there's that piece where, you know, and we work with a pretty intense brand and legal process as well. And so we do a lot of that so that we can have that ready to go in case we can't get the approval on time. We want to make sure we can launch it fast. When it comes to the stuff that just kind of pops up, I think, again, it's really sitting down with those key stakeholders. So whether it is like whoever's important to your approval process and kind of explaining that reactive and putting it into some sort of process for them and saying, okay, every day my expectation for myself is that I will get you a piece of creative and I'll work with, and it might be even with your creative team and having somebody who's going to be the reactive point person. And so making sure that they're aware of what their expectations are. So for us, it's like we have the community manager identify the opportunity. We have creatives who know that if we do, we're going to come to them and they need to turn around fast. And then we want to put it in front of our brand client. And they're aware that unless they give us a response in 15 minutes, we're going to just kill the whole idea. And so I think because we kind of sit down with our brand team and with our creative team ahead of time and kind of set that expectation, they're more aware of that. And they're more aware of what they're losing as well. If they don't kind of act quickly. Legally, I know the legal teams can be the biggest nightmare, and I think we've tried to kind of take stock of, we've kind of put together a legal guidelines document that we have collected and we continue to build, and so as we learn what's going to work and what isn't, and with, I mean, probably pretty much know, but like, for appliances, the stains that we can and can't feature are so ridiculous, but we're keeping a list of that, so we have that handy, and we, every month, we go over that with our legal team. And with that, sometimes we don't have to put things through legal. As long as they're aware, like, hey, we've got these guidelines, they got comfortable. You know, and there's always going to be times when we're going to miss something. And it's just almost telling the teams, like, hey, we missed this. This could have been great for our brand. And really kind of using that as ammo to be like, we need to be quicker next time. And we need everybody to be on board.
Rachel, thank you so much for sharing the Maytag case study.
Thanks.